Welcome, baby Dumbo. We're all family here. No matter how small.
This is a disaster.
It's the Boiling Rojas podcast, episode 85. Ow! Woo. He's Nick Boyle. I'm Nick Rojas. Boyle, what did we just see, buddy?
Forrest Gump.
That's right. And it was great. Tom Hanks should win an Academy Award.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. It was Dumbo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how I felt after I left.
So, this is the second time recording, a little peek behind the curtain here.
Bad jokes.
We're not on fire for tonight at all. I will say this is
a second take.
This is a second take. Dumbo, directed by Tim Burton, distributed by Walt Disney Pictures, the first of three live action films they're making this year, along with Aladdin and Lion King coming out later this year. A few years ago, Boyle shared on my Facebook page that Walt Disney Pictures is making like 19 live action remakes of movies that they were the hand-drawn classic style animation that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. They're remaking them. Some of them are movies that were made before. Some of them were like offshoots of characters from those movies, I believe. You know, we have a bunch on the horizon. We won't get into that. Let's just focus on Dumbo. Boyle.
Yeah, let's see if that's like a good episode.
Yeah, when we have one of these other
Aladdin
ones.
Or Lion King.
Which, by the way, the Aladdin trailer before this actually made me think that Aladdin might be good.
I'm not going to lie. I know there was a lot of stipulation around Aladdin.
I don't think you used stipulation around correctly.
No, I don't. I usually don't use big words.
You convinced me that you did.
Yeah,
so
I knew what I was talking about.
I had to stop you.
About.
Right. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Well, I totally think that Aladdin's actually going to be interesting. It's a live action. You can't really compare it to the animation. And, like, I could see what they were saying in the first video they released of the genie Aladdin. But, like, in this other trailer that they use and with the different angles, I think it's going to be good. I think people were too quick to judge. And that's something we all learn when you're a kid.
I agree. There's something about this version of it that showed us a lot more Will Smith being Will Smith. And I was like, oh,
because he does turn into a character, a human form, so he can be around people. So at some point you see a non-blue genie version of Will Smith.
The first thing they released,
fantastic.
The first thing they released of Genie though was Will Smith as Will Smith, not the blue guy. So
yeah.
Now we're back to being like, oh, okay. So they've done a terrible job of building the hype. Regardless, let's talk about Dumbo. Boyle, what were two things you liked about this movie?
The songs in Aladdin, sorry, sound really good already. But two things I liked about Dumbo. I shouldn't say I love Tim Burton. I like Tim Burton and the way that he does things sometimes. And I think that if anyone was to make a dark sort of spin on Dumbo, I think he did a kind of good job with it. I love that you can see, like, you know, if you want to talk Easter eggs, you know, his style of genre, I tried to keep a close eye on. And one of the things immediately that happens is the front of the train. And it's got the smile that, like, it's just, like, it's a classic Tim Burton smile on the front of the train. And I was like, props to you, man. I like that. You're still throwing your style in there. Keep it real.
It's very true. The last Tim Burton movie I think we saw together, boy, was Miss Peregrine's School for Peculiar Children.
Was that the last one?
It might have been. And you'll have to fact check this. I think that came out late 2016, early 2017. Yes. I remember seeing that on a flight coming back from New Zealand. And it was the second time I saw it, and I was like, this movie is just as good as I thought it was. And
you didn't like it.
I loved it, and you didn't like that movie as much as me, which is why it lends credence here. Like, I like Tim Burton, I don't love Tim Burton. And Tim Burton, you're right, has a style. It was 2016?
Yep, and directed by Tim Burton.
So that was one thing you liked, and Ava Green is in this as well. The cast for this movie. Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Colin Farrell doing a weird accent. We'll get into that later. Ava Green, some kids, Alan Arkin. Some surprises. Boyle, what was one other thing you liked? Unless you wanted to keep building off that.
Why don't you do one?
Because I got to think of how I want to word
it. Yeah, sure thing. Well, one other thing I liked about this movie is they do a good job of the scenes that they needed to hit of building that wonder and kind of making you feel almost quite like a kid again. And they do a good job of swelling. Danny Elfman's score, He has that distinct score. After the movie, when you see that it was done by Danny Elfman, you're like, of course it is. Like, Danny Elfman did all the movies that we saw as a kid. Like, it makes you feel like a kid. Like, that's what he's good at. And so they did a good job of building the music and the lights and the wonder of, and look, we're going to spoil this movie because it's Dumbo. When Dumbo starts to fly, you feel it kind of like in that kid part of you. And that's one thing I liked about this movie.
Okay. My other positive... My other positive was that I liked the fact that the animals didn't talk. None of them. That he stayed true to, like, how it could have been possibly real. You know, this baby's born with, you know, a deformity that ended up being fantastic and accepting. And, you know, there's many different themes in this movie. That's why I know some people like it more than others. being abandoned by the mother, and not abandoned, but, you know, because she was taken, but, you know.
Yeah, not abandoned.
No, I did not mean it that. That was not the same
straight
thing.
Up bailed on him.
She was like, peace. No. But just the fact of, like, that he still was able to work through it, find his mom, the whole thing, I don't know. My point is, I liked the fact that the animals didn't talk, because if those animals started talking, I think I probably... I would have watched.
That movie would have been a lot if...
It would have been weird.
You would have had to pick, like, are we spending more time with the animals talking or the people talking? And it would have been a weird balance. They stuck with... Look, I don't remember the last time I saw Dumbo, do you?
No, and you know what? I contemplated watching it maybe before this, and I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah, because I'm sure I would have felt a lot different about this movie. I can't remember a single thing that happened in the cartoon version. Well, I feel like you're itching for it. Let's set it up. We do it on every... show. What are some things you didn't like about this movie? Get ready, folks. Where does he start? Boy, he about to do it. He about to do it. He's smirking like he about to do it.
I don't know where to begin, man.
I could tell you didn't like this movie.
I don't know. I just, you know what? I'm this brought me back to seeing a weird comparison here. Ooh. But Aquaman. In the sense of how bad the writing is for some of these movies. And I think because people don't go to the movies enough, they don't recognize...
Bad writing how, from good writing.
Yeah, they don't realize, you know, how poorly written the script is. I'm not saying the storyline. I'm saying the script. The actual dialogue between people is sickening in some of these movies. And this is just like... This was... pitiful.
Yeah, I could tell it was sickening. You were literally throwing up in a popcorn bag next to me the whole movie.
Yeah, and that was not from the bad clams.
Which, by the way, why they served that at the concession stand, I still don't know. They literally promoted it as bad clams.
Yeah, and I'm the one who bought them.
You were eyeing them all day, though.
It's all right.
Anyway, yeah, you're right. You're right. There were... You know, and I think about this every now and then when I see bad movies for my bad movie podcast. I purposely see bad movies to remind myself
why you do that.
How I do.
I get it, but I don't.
Well, it's fun because then I listen to the podcast afterwards and it's hysterical that they rip on How This Get Made. They do a great job of ripping on bad movies. Yeah. But also a good reminder of seeing bad movies, it helps you appreciate great movies.
Totally.
So you didn't like the writing in this movie. You thought, no. Now, can you give me an example of that?
Can you come back? Give me a sec.
So I will say one thing I did not like about this movie, and I feel bad in saying this because I don't want it to come across as me picking on a child actress, and maybe it's, you know, the writing, or maybe Tim Burton directing kids, if he's had struggles with that. I feel like he did a good job in Miss Peregrine's, but the girl actress just didn't do it for me. She just felt like she was just regurgitating the lines instead of acting them. She was like, oh, he misses his mother. Oh, that's too bad. He wants to go home. Like, you know,
she was creepy. She was like,
oh, creepy.
She was totally like putting the dad in his place about things, and just she was so blunt. She showed no emotion.
Yes.
She was the most monotone, straight faced.
Yes.
She looked like that Momo joke and that went out. Like, again, just how serious she was.
I don't want to. I don't want to pile on this girl too much.
No.
She could be a great actor someday. It just didn't hit home for me at all. And you got Colin Farrell.
We needed a sweet, loving little girl that was, like, coddling Dumbo.
Someone who we wanted to root for.
Yeah.
I didn't find myself really rooting for this girl. She didn't earn the emotional moment that happens late in the movie.
Good.
With the key.
Yep.
She didn't really earn it for me because I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I just didn't connect with her.
Thanks for also segueing back to what was bad writing. How about that whole scene? I'm going to throw my key.
Well, don't spoil to, you know, that part.
All right, then cut it out. But, like,
I think it was good. It was well-intentioned. That's where you and I differ is I don't think the writing was bad. I think the acting was bad, and I think they just didn't kind of, like, fully, like, the actress didn't kind of fully embody the role that she was in to the point that I'm like, wow, I'm not. That's a good point. We haven't bashed Dumbo enough. Terrible actor, didn't say a word.
What a loser.
Okay.
No, actually, Dumbo
was
cute.
One thing I liked, Dumbo is very cute in this movie. Nice blue his eyes are so cute. They did that and on his purpose. Little trunk and little sounds he makes and
totally.
His emotions. How do you sound again? No, it was more of like a. I hope people are listening to this and being like, why do I listen to this podcast?
Yeah, like.
Why?
What?
So.
What'd you do this morning? I don't know. I was on the way to work. I was listening to my buddies, like, trying to make a. Elephant
sound. It's like
sound.
10 seconds of elephant sounds.
And a baby elephant, nonetheless.
That, yeah, it's not like a full-grown one. So,
Is it a cat?
So that's some things I didn't like.
All right, but the script part.
Yeah.
There was that one scene when they're all surrounding the elephant, Dumbo at the end. Like, right at the climax.
Right.
They're like, oh, man, whatever are we going to do? And it was just like, so like, what? Why are you doing this? Like, why are you wording it that way? What was the other one? That was one in the tent. They did the same thing. And it was just, it was so over the top. Like, they were shocked that this happened or something. I don't know.
So,
it was like some really bad scenes.
When he turned around in the fire, he's like, oh, like he didn't know the park was on fire.
Oh, yeah. When he, at the end, when he turned around and he said, this is a disaster. He turns around and the whole park's falling apart in fire. Like, he had no idea he caused any of that. And that it was going on.
Michael Keaton's character, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I just, like, I don't even care about spoiling that. There's no. Spoilers for this movie would help this movie.
So, final thing I'll say that I didn't like about this movie is the accent work in this movie. Michael Keaton begins the movie. And look, they film these movies out of sequence a lot of the times. Like, sometimes the scene that happens at the end of the movie is the first thing they film. Sometimes the early in the movie.
That would throw me off as an actor.
I know, and they must be used to it. So let me ask you this, Boyle. Where was Michael Keaton supposed to be from? What kind of accent was he trying to do? Why did it disappear? What was going on? Also, Colin Farrell, there's some times where he's like a Southern accent. Sometimes he's just not a Southern accent. Yeah. Like, what? Tell me, what was... Am I wrong in thinking that was kind of weird?
No, Colin Firth...
Farrell.
Farrell, sorry.
Colin Firth is a good actor.
I know, Colin Firth is a great actor. I was thinking about how good Kingsman is. Good movies. Anyways.
Eggsley.
Or our favorite Mamma Mia...
Here I go again. Oh my God. But guys,
I know what you're saying in the sense that the accents were all over the place. They were not sticking to one character in a sense. Like, at one point, I felt like I was watching Count Olaf with Michael Keaton's character. And then in the next, I thought I was just watching. I didn't have even a follow up to that.
Michael Keaton in, like, the Homecoming.
Yeah, sure. Perfect example. Yeah. Yes, like, it was, like, his character was all over the place, and I agree with you. Then you think, like, okay, but when was filming for this? Was he doing other things?
Was he like, was he trying it early on in the filming, and then later in the filming he was like, you know what, screw it. Like, I don't care.
It's totally possible.
It is possible. But guess what? They backed up the Brinks truck to every actor in this movie because it's a Disney movie. So everyone in this movie probably made their 10
like,
million.
Colin Farrell in the beginning like sounded like, well, kids, come on over here. I missed you a bunch. Like, it was like this, like.
And then he's talking to Danny DeVito in the next scene. He's like, got the Southern accent, you know.
Yeah, it was like, it was very inconsistent. But
it's an inconsistent movie. Now Boyle, I'm sorry, I'm going to take over a little bit here because this is where I'm going to rally and I'm going to see if you agree with me here. First off, shout out to my girl, Ava Green, who is in Miss Peregrine's. I don't know what it is about her, but she is, to me, gives me just a warm feeling when I see her in movies, like, everything is going to be okay. And I think that was, like, her motherly role in Miss Peregrine's. Like, it's fine. Miss Peregrine is here. Ava Green is here. She's Colette in this movie. I'm like, she's dazzling. I don't know what it is. And
you love her.
I think in a Disney movie, they can't quite have her and Colin Farrell, like, fall in love, I guess. I don't know, because it's not really about them. maybe I would have liked that more. I'm going to say this, Boyle, and you can either agree with me or not agree with me here. At the end of the day, whatever problems I had with this movie, I think are irrelevant. I think this is just a family movie. It's a movie for 4 to 8 year olds, maybe 3 to 8 year olds, 9 year olds, maybe the most, to go see a big movie, have a big popcorn, see the elephant fly around, feel the wonderment, the music, and just leaving the theater think, wow, I remember seeing Elmo, Dumbo fly. That was exciting.
If Elmo came flying out in like that rocket ship outfit he used to be on, he got blown out of the cannon.
Yeah.
I would have lost.
You know what? I would have lost.
I would have cheered.
You know what would have been hysterical?
What?
If as soon as Dumbo flew out of the tent, it's Waldorf and the other guy like, oh, you remember? Like, and they just rip out and lost.
Did you see the ears on that one? I bet he needs big Q-tips. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
I would have actually launched myself down the theater screen. I would have been like, oh my God.
It would have been like best movie ever.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how like one small thing like that could have made my score go honestly probably up to a 9.
Stop.
Yeah. Like just from something stupid like that.
I know. Because you and I have adult tastes. So
that'd be amazing.
That brings me to the final thing.
Oh, no, can I go off of that? Yeah. Or did you have more to touch base on that?
No, I was just saying this is a family movie, and that's what made it so hard for me to rate it. I'll reveal my rating after you say your.
So I actually work with a woman who was explaining that her son, her daughter, and her husband all went actually last night. So I just had this conversation. And the girl is in third grade, and she loved it. Her and the dad.
And third graders, will remind us, are 9 years
old. Yeah. So, no, 10. Third grade.
No. She'd be 10 now?
Yeah.
When we're in 7th grade, we're 12 turning 13. So, 6th grade, you're like 11 turning 12.
Depends on the
5th grade, you're 10 turning 11. 4th grade, you're 9 turning 10. So 3rd grade, you're 8 turning 9.
Because like I have kids right now that are around 7. And then
so that means they're...
Eight.
Okay, so you're 2nd graders,
going to be turning 8 this year. My 1st graders turning into 2nd graders. It's weird because of the way the school years work. It throws you off.
It does.
And you can like hold a kid back or you can push them a year early. It's weird.
Yeah, I was in 5th grade when I was 19.
Let's just say
crazy.
She's around 8 or 9. The point is that she saw it. She loved it. The husband saw it with her, loved it. The mom and the son didn't stay in the theater for the whole time, but what they saw, they enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just connects to what you said. It's a family movie. If your kids are happy, you're happy. So you're enjoying it too.
And look, one thing, Boyle, you'll probably agree with me this, and because I just remember this from my own childhood. When you're a kid, you pretty much like anything you go see in the theater.
It could have been a blank screen.
Yeah, it's true.
I could have watched the commercials. Been told, all right, that was it.
That's great. Hey, the movie ended with the popcorn and soda on the screen.
Yeah.
Let's go home.
That was it.
But it's true. No. So yeah. I guess that's not really saying much about this movie, but I think for what it needed to be, it was what it needed to be. And like
I think if you had to base it upon our, like you said, we see great things. So I'm going to come right out and say this is easily a 3 out of 10 for me. And
okay, but what...
Hold on. But okay. If I'm rating it based upon a movie for family and stuff to go to, like, hey, like, we used to love this movie as a kid, and, like, our kids like Dumbo, and, like, it's totally going to be a solid, probably 65, maybe 7, 6.5, 7 for families.
I'm literally stuck in that between
like, that's what
seven.
I think that they're going to like. I'm not going to rate it that. When I compare it, because I have to do our ratings not just based upon the movie, but also based upon other things we've
remember,
seen.
Remember, we talk about, too, like, do we rate the movie? We have this conversation all the time.
Yes.
Do we rate this off all movies or for what it's trying to be?
True.
I guess for what it's trying to be, I still wouldn't give it a 10.
Yeah,
it's not
those are two totally different scores, though.
Right.
So, again, I mean...
If I was going to rate this on IMDb later, I would...
If I were to go rate it a 3.
Oh, see, I'll rate this as a... As a 6, because I want parents who are going to see, like, before they go take their kids to, I want
saying,
them to know, like...
On Letterboxd, you'd put 3.
Out of 5, yeah.
You still think overall, you're still going
to... Yeah, no, I would, because it's like... It's
you
like,
need to go back and look at what you rated every other movie.
Yeah, no,
and then you're going to be like, wow, I rated that.
No, dude, we've seen bad movies. Like, yeah. I saw The Snowman the other night. That's a 1 out of 5. That's That's a hated it. This movie is like a fine. This is a fine movie. It's not trying to be like a life-changing movie. You know what I'm saying, Boyle?
Totally.
But I don't want to... See, I struggle with this a lot when we do the show, Boyle, is I don't want to convince you to change your mind. I'm just trying to give you my perspective on why I'm giving it what I'm giving it. And totally. Sometimes I feel like I go too far, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like I'm being like, dude, what are you doing? But like, I'm just trying to be like, no, like, this is how I see it.
Totally.
So I can't fault you for putting that, but I'm just saying I'm giving it that score because I want people who are like, all right, like, I'm about to take my kids. Am I going to hate myself? I think if you're a parent, you're not going to hate yourself for taking this your kids to the movie.
That's what I'm saying. I agree.
But I know that you, seeing this as, and because I'm, you and I are both like, you know, you're 26, I'm 27, we're basically the same age. For us, this is not a movie like I would tell our friends to go see.
Point proven. So that's what I'm saying. If you're going by friend score, 3 out of 10. If you're going families and lovers of the Disney film.
Not necessarily I would give it that low, too, because it's like a terrible movie would have been like everybody in the movie not trying to act
at all. If you go tell our boys that this is a 7 out of 10.
No, I wouldn't.
But that's what, so that's
so that's why it makes it so hard to rate this movie.
Fair. So maybe so you need to just go 5.
It's not a failure. Because look
right down the middle.
Think of all the special effects in this movie. Think about the sets, the costumes, the actors, the actresses, the makeup. Like everything in this movie is like
good enough
to get it to a just in the middle. It's where it's the entertainment factor for people our age where it starts to fall apart. But I can't fault the movie because it's not trying to entertain to us. That's why I can't give it below a 6 or 5 because all the pieces are there. We talk about like bad movies I've seen recently, like The Snowman, and you know, I can't give too many examples because I don't really see too many bad movies. Like the bad movies are just like I'm rolling my eyes the whole time. The like they skimped on like the editing and the costumes and like people aren't even trying to act or whatever. Like this is an earnest attempt.
You see it that way and I see it as it wasn't good and it wasn't good acting and it was corny scripts and roll the eye moments and then the few chuckles of laughter that were in there.
I thought the little boy was a good actor.
No.
I genuinely didn't.
Well, compared to the girl.
Well, yeah, that's true. I genuinely didn't care for anyone in the movie. There was not real, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. I mean, like, I didn't get invested in any of the characters. They were all so bland and blah, and just, my focus was on Dumbo, and truthfully,
I think
Dumbo had the same scene. He flew around the same circus ring 4 times in 4 different scenes.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
And then...
That's fair.
He was next to his mother for 4 scenes, just getting coddled by her. And then he actually went up in... Tim Burton used the same scene of him getting risen up into the sky on the platform. It was the same scene twice. He literally looked up, but he was wearing a different color headband.
But that's what kids want. They want the same thing over and over
exactly.
and over again.
So I think, to go off your point, you're going towards a kid that he was not aiming for us.
Yes, he wasn't, yeah.
He's aiming to keep the kids interested.
Yeah, like help me, because I bet you there was a thing where it's like every 20 minutes we need to have Dumbo flying.
Yeah, I kind of wish I did see the original because then I feel like it'd be nice to have compared it to something. So maybe I'll see the original soon because just like,
I have no idea how we would
never do it.
You're never going to see it, dude.
Well, my grandma has it on VHS. I could totally
go
watch it.
We're going to grandma's house.
Going to grandma's house.
So,
make cookies.
So I understand where you're coming from, Boyle. Like, but that's why I can't give
So for a 5 or a 6?
Like if
like
the,
in night school
if the
that
sets
I saw,
look if the sets
I was
look
invested
cheap.
Into Kevin Hart's character. I was like, I hope he passes, man. Like at least I was somewhat invested. In this, I literally could not care less.
I she's still here.
Sorry.
Yeah, I get.
Are you okay?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I guess what I want to say is that just it wasn't for.
It needs credit.
It wasn't for lack of trying. Like this movie is very well put together. It's a Disney movie, and we're used to seeing adult movies where people have complex emotions, and this movie is very simple.
Do me a favor, go back, rewatch the official trailer. And I guarantee you just saw it, the whole movie. And I keep saying that. Like, not that you can tease Dumbo, but going back to those repetitive scenes, it was like, you're right, it was oversimplified, though. Like, it was like too
blah. But kids' movies are oversimple. No, but what we're used to, though, is Pixar family movies are good for the whole family. And some of these live-action movies are just like, we're just...
Dumbo's a tough story. Out of all the Disney movies, Dumbo is a tough story. That's why I said I gave, in my pros, Tim Burton credit. Because I think, like, if anyone, in my opinion, could pull it off, he did an okay job.
We haven't had this much discussion about a movie in a long time. But it was good. It was healthy conversation. Yeah. Because we haven't disagreed. We haven't gone
like
this far.
Lights, Camera, Pod. They did the same thing about that movie, Us. When they were talking about Us, they were like, this is the longest we've talked about a movie.
This is the most, I think, wide gap in a movie that we've seen in a long time. Because I'm officially giving this one a 6 out of 10. And you're giving it a 3 out of 10. I think that's the most, like, far apart we've been in a long time. So, all right. Do you have any final words to say about it? I'm going to talk about Beach Bum.
No, just don't get too sandy. Another terrible dad joke. But I'm not a dad.
That was Boyle's beard making, I guess, appearance. He agrees with Boyle. So, I'm going to quickly talk about the Beach Bum. Harmony Korine's latest movie. It's the same guy who directed Kids, Trash Humpers, and Spring Breakers. Yeah, I swear to God, he has a movie called Trash Humpers. I'm not kidding.
Kids skip tube.
Yeah, I know. So, he makes kind of like weird movies that don't really have plots. I've never seen Spring Breakers. Has anybody in this car seen Spring Breakers? I have not. So, this movie stars Matthew McConaughey, Isla Fisher, Snoop Dogg, Jonah Hill, Zac Efron, and Martin Lawrence. And... look, two things. One, if you are a fan of movies that have hard plots, hardline plots, like this movie has X happens and Y happened, this is not a movie for you. I just want to tell you right now. If you don't like laughing with people in the movie, this is also not a movie for you. And if you're hardcore against drugs or alcohol in movies, again, this is not a movie for you. Now, having said that, I love this movie. Matthew McConaughey plays Moondog, who's this kind of stoned, drunk poet who is a best-selling author years ago, and he's married to Isla Fisher, and he lives in the Keys in Florida, and he's Moondog, man. He's just drunk and high all the time, just like walking around, stumbling, going from bar to bar, having a great time with everyone, laughing all the time. He's got a blonde wig. He's wearing Hawaiian shirt and shorts, a fanny pack, and sunglasses that flip up. And he is just having the time of his life. And there's no real plot for the first 40 minutes of this movie until something kind of happens. And all of a sudden it's like, Moondog, if you want this to happen, X has to happen. So he's like, okay. Like, and that's kind of like loosely a plot. This movie is just about following Matthew McConaughey's Moondog around Florida and his friends. And so one thing I want to say is, like, this is kind of like, if I could compare this to any movie, it's like the Florida, like, you know, those headlines, Florida Man. It's Florida Man meets Forrest Gump. And it's literally like him just going from place to place around Florida and just running into all these crazy people and them all loving him because he's Moondog and he just has a good time all the time. And I've never seen an actor quite embody a role like Matthew McConaughey. It's like Matthew McConaughey doing an impression of Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
If Matthew McConaughey is like, yo, all right. Like, just him, all just... Right, it's right, like if right. You took a Matthew McConaughey photocopy and just photocopied it and then made photocopies of that photocopy and kept doing that, you would get Moondog. And it's amazing. And he just becomes Moondog, like, to the point you forget that that's Matthew McConaughey. And he has a blast and he's just laughing throughout the whole movie. And I didn't stop laughing for the first 15 minutes of this movie. Austin and I saw it and we just kept laughing. And it was incredible. There was never a moment, and Austin and I, we can get free popcorn refills in the jumbo popcorn. And there was never a moment where either of us were like, all right, like, I'm going to go get the refill right now. Because you didn't want to miss a second of what Moondog was doing on screen. Because he was just so captivating, and he's in every scene. And he's still captivating, which is almost impossible that he never... There's not once in this movie where I was like, all right, this is kind of dragging a little bit. And the soundtrack was amazing. It's got a lot of Jimmy Buffett in it. Jimmy Buffett's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. It is, and he's just having a good time through life, man. And, like, there's just some quotes in this movie that you're like, well, that's stupid. And then you think about it, you're like, well, that's kind of weirdly profound. And then there's moments where you're laughing, and all of a sudden you're like, all of a sudden, like, not laughing, but you're kind of like, wow, like, kind of like, oh, like, this is kind of a sentimental moment.
See, I'm looking forward to this movie.
It's a movie, like...
More than Dumbo.
Right. No, absolutely. This is, so here's my thing I'm going to say. On Letterboxd, we have our annual list that we start doing around midway through the year, but we started a little bit earlier this year. This is my number one movie of 2019. And look, that's not saying much because we've seen...
Taking the belt.
It's got the belt for number one movie of the year right now. A strong 8 out of 10, man. Nice. I just can't stop thinking about this movie. I want to see it again, honestly. I can't wait to see it again. But here's my caveat. I can only recommend this to people who I would say... I'm afraid to recommend this to people because I'm not sure if people are okay with seeing movies that don't have plots to them. So if you see the Red Band trailer and you think like, oh, that kind of looks like pretty good, pretty funny, maybe go see it on a Bargain Tuesday. But if... Like, and don't get mad at me if you're like, dude, what was that movie? Like, all he is just, like, he's high and drunk all the time laughing, having a good time with Snoop Dogg. Like, there was a beauty in this movie underneath the surface of just Moondog. Just, there's, like, a little bit of Moondog in all of us who just kind of wants to just have a good time with our friends and say hi to everybody. Just hang loose. Be nice to everybody. Just have a good time. Just smiling through life, laughing through life. And not letting anything get you down. And there was something beautiful... I'm not kidding when I say this. Today, I was in the best mood I've been in months, possibly years. And I don't know how much of that was having seen that movie last night versus just it being a sunny day and just, like, life in general just being good right now. Mm-hmm. But, man, Beach Bum is going to be a movie that sticks with me for a long time. So,
wow.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to see it.
I'm excited.
And our parents are going to... Yeah. Boyle's second much. Parents and my parents are going to have a review of this movie at the end of a future episode, so be on the lookout for that. But at the end of this episode, they're going to have a review of Hotel Mumbai. Boyle, I think you're going to like this movie.
But you asked a question, so I feel like we have to answer it. What is our favorite Matthew McConaughey movie?
Yeah, we did. So we did ask that on Instagram. That's great. And did any more people...
I didn't pull it up. I pulled the list of movies for Matthew McConaughey. All right, so I've seen Matthew... My first ever... Ready for this?
I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, my first date I ever went on...
This is not where I thought you were going.
...was in 8th grade. Was it 8th grade or 7th grade? And I went and saw the movie Failure to Launch, which was his movie, and I saw it in the movie theaters with But she was one of my, like, good friends, and then we're like, yeah, no, we're friends. I don't know why we did this. It was so weird.
That was back in the day of... So I'm listening to the Big Picture podcast, and I just got into, like, 10 minutes into the movie, where they're talking about the Matthew McConaissance that happened earlier in this decade. It's because... Think about it. Matthew McConaughey has been acting in movies since the early 90s with Dazed and Confused. So he did a lot of, like, indie roles, a lot of serious roles. He was in Angels in the Outfield, too. And then all of a sudden in the 2000s, and it's around the time he went on this date, he started doing all rom-coms. And so when we were kind of, like, coming of age of movies, I was like, why would I see a Matthew McConaughey movie? All he does is these rom-coms. I have no interest in seeing them. But then he started doing fun roles again. So what's your favorite role of his?
Magic Mike. No, I'm just kidding. I gotcha. I wish I could have gotten your face for that answer. Darn it. No, so, you know, first of all, I just have to give the honorable mention to Interstellar. Because that movie... Okay. Was fantastic. And I've only recently seen Interstellar, folks. Interstellar came out in 2014. I saw that last year. That was phenomenal. However, also big fans of Lincoln Lawyer, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. It's a classic. However, I'm going Fool's Gold.
Wow.
2008. A classic I used to watch with AJ all the time growing up in high school. We'd watch that, like, occasionally. And it's such a good movie, and it's such a good rewatchable movie that the plot, you know what's going on. I could tell you right now, I couldn't tell you what was going to happen, though. I could rewatch that tomorrow and still, like, be like, oh, yeah, what a great surprise, like, and enjoy myself. He's funny, little romance in there. They're just looking for some treasure. Great movie, Fool's Gold.
Never saw it.
Okay.
Never saw it.
I suggest it.
That sounds good, though.
Do you know who's with him?
In Fool's Gold?
Yep.
Let me guess. Is it, it's Fool's Gold. It's, a woman. It's not, is it Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You already looked it up.
No, I swear to God, I didn't look it up.
Wow. That's impressive.
That's just based off my weird memory, man.
Wow.
He was also in with Kate Hudson in Failure to Launch as well, right? Or was it How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
No. Failure to Launch was with,
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yep.
See, I remember all these movie posters. I never saw them. So my favorite Matthew McConaughey role
was him
in Angels in the Outfield. He didn't say much, but he made that amazing catch.
Okay.
I'm kidding. All right. My favorite Matthew McConaughey role, besides Dazed and Confused, which I saw for the first time ever in October, my favorite Matthew McConaughey role, I would have to say, is as much as I loved him in Dallas Buyers Club, and he was amazing in that, I think it would just have to go to him in Wolf of Wall Street. I know that's so popular. I know that's popular, but I mean, sometimes the most popular pick is most popular for a reason. It's iconic. He's like, listen to him. It's a tweezer, Twazzy. It's a tweezer. You know what I mean? He just does that, and he's just like, go! And everything in that scene, he is so magnetic to the point where Leo is being outshined in that scene because he's just like
that movie is amazing. I want to watch that right now.
I own it on Blu-ray, and you know me, I don't really own many movies. But I was like, I need, and guess how many times I've seen it on Blu-ray? Zero times.
Zero.
Why? Because owning stuff is stupid, Boyle. That was you walked into my trap. I'm kidding. I love you, man.
Nice.
That was a great, great role for him. But he was so good in True Detective, and that's not a movie, so.
So can you give you a rating?
Of Beach Bum? Yeah. So let's see what people answered us. So we have some answers to this. B-Cat says, Dazed and Confused, semi-kidding. I feel like you're not even kidding at all, B-Cat. Dave Allen from Dual Redundancy said, these are rookie picks. How about it scenes in The Wolf of Wall Street? Shout out. I believe Michaela's brother. Said True Detective Season 1. Yep. Not a movie. That's fine.
You know what? I was wondering if you were going to go with that answer, to be honest. Because you love True Detective. I do love True Detective. So I thought you were going to go in on that.
That's, for me, that's when I was like, oh, McConaughey is awesome. And it kind of kicked off, for me, the McConaissance. Because he was in True Detective around the same time he was in Dallas Buyers Club. Mm-hmm. That was all happening around the same time. It was late 2013, early 2014.
So you don't think Wolf of Wall Street sparked?
Those came out at the same time. He was in Wolf of Wall Street the same time Dallas Buyers Club came out.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They both were out that award season.
And Magic Mike. Oh, my God, my classic movie,
Mud. Mud was pretty damn good, too. And I saw Mud after the fact.
Mud was really good.
Killer Joe and Bernie was when he started doing these interesting movies. I guess Lincoln Lawyer, you could say.
Lincoln Lawyer was pretty good.
I feel like that's a very Boyle movie.
I had that on Boyle. That was one of my first.
On Boyle Ray? That would be amazing.
Boyle Ray. No, I have. Dude, that's hilarious. I had it on Blu-ray, like one of my first ever Blu-rays. Like, I don't know why.
It's 10:52 right now at night.
Yeah, it's time to go.
We gotta go. Mike DeMars also said his role in A Time to Kill, which is a shot at me because Mike got that movie for me for Christmas. I haven't finished it yet. I'm an hour into it.
Classic.
I know. I'm really struggling. It's because it's on my phone. I'm struggling. So yeah, that's pretty much wraps it up. You know, follow the show on Instagram. At the Boyle and Ross podcast.
We do have big news.
What do we have?
Tickets to Endgame.
Oh, yeah. Oh. We have to mention Avengers.
Avengers.
I'm going to beat you over the head with this microphone that doesn't work.
Awesome.
Can't wait. No, but you're right. We got our tickets. We're going opening night, so we're going to be able to review it as soon as it comes out. We're going to be in the jammed Providence Place Mall parking lot afterwards. This is going to be Nerd Central, and we're going to talk about it.
I'm so excited.
Are you going to spoil it on the podcast?
Like for other people? No, I don't know how I'm going to handle it yet.
Okay, all right.
It might have to be two totally separate podcasts.
Boyle's going to be a mess of emotions, I can tell.
Yeah, totally. I'm going to be happy, excited, laughing, definitely crying. I'm going to be in a place, man. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to handle a podcast. You probably should do a podcast because you'll get so many mixed emotions from it.
I might just turn the recording on and just point the microphone at you and just see what happens. I'm just...
You can actually, like, hear my lip trembling.
Just like... Why was Batman... Why was Batman in this movie? Makes no sense. So, follow the show on Twitter, at the BNR Podcast. Follow it on Instagram, at the Boyle and Rojas Podcast. Follow Boyle on Twitter, at OBoyle92. Me on Twitter, at Rojo36. Shout out to my parents who are going to give a review of Hotel Mumbai after this. Boyle, say bye.
Adios.
Okay, I'm Cookie and...
I'm Kristen.
All right, and we just saw...
Hotel Mumbai.
That's right. And I'm going to let you start this whole review first.
Okay, well, just to start off, it was an excellent movie. Excellent movie. I was anxious throughout the whole thing, heaviness in my chest. not really knowing the story, but knowing that it was based on true events. So adds to the anxiety. Dev Patel, excellent actor. So I just anxious through the whole thing, and a sadness, an incredible sadness that this stuff happens. We as Americans, I think, take it for granted, our safety, every day. And it's something, this type of movie reminds you of that.
I thought it was an exceptional movie. And I agree, Dev Patel brought it again, just does another great job. And also an executive producer on this movie. I think Armie Hammer does a great job. I think Jason Isaac is the other actor in it. Does a very good job too. And even though some of the stuff is fictionalized, it's still based on true events, and it's very sad, but you understand, like, just the intensity of the fact of the frailty of humans, you know, in a circumstance like this, in an attack like this. It just makes you sit there and, like you said, appreciate the fact that we've never had to deal with anything like that as individuals. And your heart goes out to the people who did, and the people, like, I think we talked right after the movie.
Well, the incredible bravery of the staff.
Exactly. You just go to work, you're doing your job, you want to provide the best service to your guests, and this situation occurs, and it's just sad. It's just a sad movie, and it's been a long time since I've ever been, since I've been emotional in a movie, and this was one of those movies that it just breaks your heart. So,
Go see it.
I give this movie an 8 out of 10. I just thought it was really, really good.
I might even give it an 8.5.
There you go. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.